We just completed a great week of Bible school. We had a wonderful time, had somewhere in the upper 30s of kids each night, had a wonderful time learning about the all-wise God and how we can make wise decisions and walk godly, wise lives. I'm excited to share with you a little bit about Bible school this morning. Our kids who are here from Bible school are going to come up and do a song here in a moment, and so we're excited to celebrate that and what God has done through Bible school. We're also excited because we're getting ready to send a team of students next weekend on a mission trip to Florida, and we're going to highlight them at the end of the service, have a word of prayer for them, and share with you how you can be praying with them as they're doing God's work down in Florida on their mission trip as well. And then there's something else going on today, something else we're supposed to celebrate. I can't remember what it is, but something having to do with three tithes. And dads, I know you guys are here this morning, and we're excited to celebrate what God has done in your lives as well. Dads, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for the godly influence you are in our lives. I'm thankful for the fathers and the father figures in my life, the father-in-laws, and all of the dads who have supported me. We want to say thank you, and we're going to do that in a tangible way here in just a moment. Other than that, we want to worship this morning. That's what we're here for. We're not just here to talk about Bible school or talk about Father's Day or even talk about trips to Florida. All of those things are happening because we are united in a worship of a great God. And so we want to do that this morning. I'm going to pray. We're going to recognize our fathers. And then we're going to have a continued time of worship. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for being our Heavenly Father who loves us as your children. Lord, I thank you because we can approach you like we do our dads, even better. Lord, we know that in life we have ups and downs, there will be disappointments, but your love, God, never fails. Lord, I thank you for being our Heavenly Father. I thank you for leading us in difficult times. And this morning on Father's Day, let us know above all else, regardless of how we love or maybe even struggle with the relationship with our earthly father, I thank you that we can have a Heavenly Father who loves us perfectly. Lord, this morning we worship you on Father's Day. We worship you as the giver of life and the one who meets our every need. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you would lead and guide us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. You know, one of the biggest differences between Mother's Day and Father's Day is the sermon. It's vastly different how you preach a Mother's Day sermon and a Father's Day sermon. I don't think I realized this until I started preaching these things myself and started realizing how different of a shape they take. Now, for instance, on Mother's Day, most sermons sound something like this. Moms are amazing. They're like human unicorns, you know, special and beautiful and smelling of lavender and night jasmine. They're deserving of our gratitude and our complete affection and pedicures. Mothers, please stand up so we can shower you with applause and have the ushers give you roses commemorating this moment when we, the body of Christ, are able to bask in your combined loveliness. Isn't that how most Mother's Day sermons go? On the contrary, Father's Day sermons usually sound a little like this. Dads, what are you doing? Seriously, get your act together. It's time for you to be leaders of your household, to put away the jobs that consume you. It's time to put down your iPhone and serve your family with your heart and soul. Cowboy up already. Your role is crucial to the family, and it's time for you to get motivated and active in your family, your community, and your world. Now come and repent, you know. That's a Father's Day sermon in a nutshell. Amen, amen. Go get your pie and go home. You know, there are several differences between Mother's Day and Father's Day. For instance, on Mother's Day, you get a Mother's Day card that has roses on it with this elegant poem. On Father's Day, you get a card that has a singing hot dog, you know? Some of y'all got that card. Moms get breakfast in bed and all the attention she desires. Dads get a Hardee's biscuit and a cup of coffee, if he gets up early enough to go get the biscuit, you know? The whole family gathers on Mother's Day. It's a big ordeal. Everybody comes together. Dozens of people in the house on Father's Day. The house is emptied so that Dad can sit down and watch the golf tournament, right? That's usually how it works. Mothers, this is interesting. Mothers give their kids gift ideas, and their kids go to their father. They ask for money, and then they get mom exactly what she wants. Now, this one is actually one similarity, because moms give their kids gift ideas for dad. They go to their dad and ask for money and get dad exactly what mom wants, you know? They're different. On Mother's Day, we end up showing these beautiful tribute videos, things about how wonderful moms are and how we can't live without them. Dads, you get videos more like this one. Dads, quite often, aren't doing their jobs. Dads quite often are slacking. There are 20 million children in America in a single parent home. 5 million of those children live without their mother, while 15 million live without their father. As a matter of fact, somewhere around 43% of children in America live without their dad. 43%. You know, being in a fatherless home doesn't always mean that the dad doesn't live there. Sometimes there's plenty of presence of dad, but there's not activity from dad. We need active two-parent homes. We need active, supportive fathers. This morning, dads, do you feel slighted a little bit on Father's Day? Do you feel like you get thrown under the bus sometimes? Do you feel like you're missing out? This morning, I want to look at what the Bible has to say about being a godly man and living godly lives. I want to go ahead and let you know this morning's sermon is about fathers. Of course, it's about Father's Day, but it really is for all of us. Each one of us in here, whether we're dads, whether we're moms, whether we're sisters or aunts or uncles, cousins, whoever it may be, God wants us to live God-fearing lives. Read with me in Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You will surely eat whatever your hands have worked for. You will be happy and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons like young olive trees around your table. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. May the Lord bless you from Zion so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem in all the days of your life and will see your children's children. Peace be with Israel. So we see this morning we are called to live godly lives as men. There are several characteristics in this passage of godly fathers who deserve praise and also an example by which it sets for all of us to strive for. First thing we have to do if we're going to be godly fathers and godly men is we must be a model Christian. We must be a model Christian. Try that one slide back. A model Christian. You can see that we need to make sure we're focused on our spiritual life before we're any good anywhere else. Now here's the $1 million question for you. Can you be a good dad and not a good Christian? Can you be a good dad and not a good Christian? This is kind of a loaded question, isn't it? It's a tough one to answer. But the answer is you cannot be the best dad without being a model Christian. You can be a dad who is good at things, but to be a good dad, the way that God intended us to live, we need to model the Christian faith. We gave out, about 8 pies this morning? Is that right? Imagine for a second you get your pie home. You're excited because they drew your number. And you're slicing it up and you're ready to eat and it looks beautiful. It is an immaculate looking pie. You pull the piece out, you put a bite in, and just something is a little off. You can't tell what it is, and you see all the ingredients are there. The cherries are there, or the apples are there, or the chocolate, or the peanut butter cups, or the butter. Whatever it is, it's all there. The crust, it looks perfectly fine, but it just tastes a little bland. And then you get a call later on, don't eat that pie, I forgot to put the sugar in it. Don't eat it, it's not in there, you know? Now, sugar is not the all ingredient of the pie, but can I tell you, if you eat a pie that has not been sweetened, no matter how sweet it starts off with, it's not going to be the best pie it can be. It has all the ingredients. It has the flour. It has the eggs, the butter, well, whatever else goes into it, but it's missing something key. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't have Christ in your life, you're a deadbeat dad. There are a lot of dads who are as involved as they can be. Your dad may have been there for you when you needed him. He may have been a phone call away. He may have gone through thick and thin with you, and you may try to be the best provider for your children. You might be the best little league coach, but if you're missing the key ingredient, you're not the best father you could be. The truth is, you can teach your children a lot. You can teach them how to ride a bike. You can teach them how to rub dirt on a bruise when they fall down. You can teach them how to use your shirt sleeve as a napkin. You can teach them all the tricks that dads know. But if you don't teach them about Christ and how to have a relationship with Christ, your teaching is incomplete. Psalm 128, verse 1 that we read a minute ago says, "How happy is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in His ways." If you're going to be a complete father, you must first and foremost model the Christian faith. God's blessing comes not just when you take your kid to their first baseball game, but when you teach them what the Word of God says and model Christian faith. Secondly, if we're going to be godly fathers, we must be a model husband. You can't separate any of these three models this morning. If you're a model Christian, you will be a model husband. And if you're a model husband, it's because you are a model Christian first. Your commitment to being a father is certainly worthy of praise, but it's also linked to who you are as a husband. And great fathers understand that how they treat their children's mother teaches them a lot about how they will treat their future spouses. Callie and I used to play a game when she was really little. I'd go up to her and I'd say, "Callie, I want to hear you say it. Let me hear you say it." And she'd shake her head and giggle and go back. And I'd say, "Callie, let me hear you say it. I want to hear you say it." And I'd tickle her and she'd be laughing and screaming until finally she couldn't take it anymore. And she'd belt out, "Daddy loves me most and don't you forget it." You know, and we'd play this game all the time. And we really enjoyed it. And she knew that above all else, her daddy loved and cared for her. We had to stop playing that game when Ashton was born because I was telling Ashton one time when she was a baby, "You know, Ashton, Daddy loves you." And I could hear Callie come in from the other room, "But Daddy says he loves me most and don't you forget it," you know. The truth is, I love both of my daughters. I love them more than anyone else in the world could possibly love them. But as much as I love them, I love their mother more. And to be a good father, you have to be a good, godly husband. You cannot neglect your relationship with your spouse. You see, it's important to me that my girls see how much I care for their mom. It's important that your children recognize how much you invest in your wife. Dads, you can be the best Christian in the world. But if you neglect your relationship with your wife, you can never be the Christian God calls you to be. You have to understand, you wouldn't be a father if it wasn't for your wife. Psalm 128, verse 3 says, "Your wife is like a fruitful vine within the house." In other words, you'll be blessed by the family that you have with your wife. She is a blessing and one who is worthy of praise. In Ephesians 5 and 6, Paul spends a lot of time talking about the family and the different relationships within the family. He spends three verses instructing wives on how they are to live. He spends three more dedicated to children and how they're to interact with the family. He spends only one verse dedicated specifically to fathers, but he spends eight verses, which is more than the other three relationships combined. Eight verses focused on the husband. You cannot separate your role as a husband and your role as a father. And you cannot possibly be as good a father or as good a Christian if you are a bad husband. You must love your wife and model your relationship with her. And then thirdly, we are, of course, called to be a model father. You see, being a model father is built on several foundations. It doesn't just happen. If you want the praise for being a model father, you must first model Christ and model a love for your wife. I read a blog several years ago that expressed this disgust of many preachers using Father's Day as a time to preach a themed sermon on dads. And the blog was saying what a horrible idea it was to preach a dad sermon on Father's Day because, in his words, it said something along the lines of, Father's Day is not a religious holiday. And it had these warnings against worshiping anything other than God. I strongly disagree with those sentiments. I strongly disagree with that phrase, Father's Day is not a religious holiday. I believe Father's Day is a religious holiday. Because we not only celebrate the dads in our lives, we celebrate a heavenly Father who is there for us. Amen. You see, you cannot separate being a model Christian with being a father. You can't pull them apart. You cannot be the Christian God has called you to be and not be the father God wants you to be. You cannot separate these three models. You can't love your wife unless you love your children. You can't separate fatherhood from the rest of your spiritual life. It's deeply tied in for several reasons. First, God chose to reveal Himself to all of creation through the model of being a father. He comes and He says, I am your father and you are my children. Let's not miss this. This was not an accident that God reveals Himself in this way. A father is someone of great power and strength, but also one who has compassion for his children. My daughters are sure that I can pick up anything. They look at me as if I'm a Hercules, Arnold Schwarzenegger type, and I don't tell them any different, and don't you dare either. Your kids look up to you, dads, as this Herculean strength and pillar, but they also realize the love and compassion you have for them. It's a model of the Heavenly Father who certainly can do all things and yet has compassion on His children. A father is someone of discipline and correction, but also one of unconditional love and acceptance. You as a dad have a responsibility to discipline your children, to teach them right from wrong and guide them in life. But you also always take them back with an unconditional love. Ashton, bless her heart, is about as sensitive a kid as you'll ever meet. And anytime she gets in trouble, all you have to do is get onto her a little bit and she busts down in tears. And she'll say, you don't love me anymore. Will you forgive me? You know, she has this sentiment of I've done wrong. But one thing she always hears from both myself and her mother is, Ashton, we will always love you. There's an unconditional love, and as a father, there's a balance of discipline and love, and we have a heavenly Father who is that exact model, the one who must discipline and correct us to bring us into a right relationship, but always takes us back because of the unconditional love He has for us. God is our heavenly Father, and we as fathers are a representation of His power and His strength, of His compassion, His discipline, and His unconditional love. There's many people around the country that have a hard time accepting a heavenly Father because of a poor example of an earthly father. One of my best friends is a pastor, and I'm sure he's preaching this morning a sermon exactly of these words, who struggled his entire life because he did not have an earthly father that he could look up to. And he struggled with embracing a Heavenly Father. But this morning, as much as our earthly fathers can and will and often do disappoint us, our Heavenly Father never does. He always loves us. Secondly, our greatest responsibility is to our families. We must be a model father because first, God reveals Himself as Father, and secondly, we have a responsibility that's greater than any other responsibility we've been given outside of our relationship with Christ. And that is our family. It's true, Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world. And that's our responsibility, certainly is our responsibility. And many of us neglect our calling to go and share our faith. But the Israelites were also commanded to teach the Word of God to their children and to their children's children. Now, often we neglect the greatest evangelistic opportunities we have, and that is with our own sons and daughters. We have the chance to teach them the Word of God. How about this strange thought? The Islamic faith is the fastest growing faith in the world. Why is Islam growing so rapidly? Because they outbreed everyone else. It's true. The average Muslim family has 4.5 children, where the average Christian family has 2.3 children. Now, I'm not advocating that we all go out and make a whole bunch of Christian babies, okay? But there's a truth behind that statistic, and that is you have the greatest influence in your children's choice of faith. You have the greatest influence on whether they will serve the one true, all-wise, all-loving God, or whether they will wander off. This morning, we need to realize that our greatest responsibility in our evangelistic efforts is with our sons and daughters and our grandsons and our granddaughters. We must model the Christian faith as a father figure to them. This morning, as we start to wrap things up, I want to remind you, fathers, that you have a responsibility to be a model to your children. Someone once told me, everything you do, someone is watching. And you are leading someone always, whether you know it or not. You're either leading them to godliness or you're leading them to worldliness. This morning, your children are following you, and we have a responsibility. Be the Christian that you desire your children to grow up and be. Be the husband that you want your sons to be, and the husband you want your daughters to look for and marry. Be the father that so many children are missing, either due to negligence or abandonment. Be that father. Fathers, we want to honor you today. We want to recognize your hard work and diligence. There are certain challenges that you face that are unique, and we want to honor you for embracing those. And the best way we can honor you is by encouraging you to be the man found in Psalm 128, verse 4, when it says, "The man who fears the Lord will be blessed." This morning, I pray that you will be blessed because of your commitment to God by leading your family. This morning, maybe you scratch your head and you say, "I'm not a father," or "I don't have a father figure around. How does this sermon apply to me?" This sermon applies to each of us because of the Heavenly Father that embraces all of those models we've talked about this morning. And the greatest commitment we can make is not to an earthly father or an earthly husband or even our earthly kids, but to a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This morning, there is a father who wants you in his family. He wants to adopt and embrace you. He wants to be committed to you. He wants to discipline you, yes, but out of love and correction. He wants to show you his strength and his protection and also his compassion and his genuine love. There's a heavenly father who wants nothing else than to wrap his arms around you and love you the way your earthly father tried to, but could not perfectly. This morning, if you feel left out of the sermon, it's probably because God is speaking to your heart, not as an earthly father, but to connect the heavenly father in a relationship with you. As we come to our time of invitation, I would invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to ask yourself and think to yourself, do I have a relationship with that heavenly father? Father, I ask this morning that you would show us and reveal to us who you want us to be as fathers, as mothers, as wives, as husbands, as children. Lord, help us to see our need to be model Christians first. Lord, help us to have a relationship with you, the all-wise, perfect God. Lord, let us build everything up off of that. Lord, I pray for the men in here that we would step up to be model Christians, model husbands, and model fathers. I pray for the women in here that they would embrace their heavenly Father and love you as a God who loves us. Lord, we pray this morning that each one of us would examine our own hearts and our own lives and make sure we know you as a personal Lord and Savior. as a heavenly Father first. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As we come to a time of invitation, I invite you to stand to your feet. And this morning, I want you to ask yourself what your relationship is with your heavenly Father. Do you know Him the way you need to know Him? Have you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior so that you may have that security of a heavenly Father? And dads, are you modeling this relationship with this great God to your children, to your grandchildren, and to those who look up to you as a father? This morning, during our invitation, I ask you to examine your hearts and come forward, have a word of prayer, or right where you're at, ask God to lead, guide, and direct you. Let's sing together.